have been speaking for 4 weeks now about authentic relationships. What is an authentic relationship? What does it mean? What does it consist of? What does it look like? And we've done that in three different venues so far. One is we've looked at our relationship with God. What is a covenant relationship with God? What does that look like? What does that mean? What's the vernacular of that? How does that sound? How does that feel? We talked about that. We talked about covenant relationships with family. In other words, that family relationship is not a contractual relationship. It's a covenant relationship. It's, well, a better covenant built on better promises. And we talked about that some. And then last week, we talked about covenant relationship in the Christian community, i.e. the church. What does a covenant relationship look like in the church? What does that mean? What does that feel like? And you remember, we talked about a couple of things. That one, we are God's ambassadors. Remember? We are God's ambassadors. And as God's ambassadors, we are his representative. His voice speaks through us. And I'm going to visit that again in just a moment. And then the other thing we talked about was that we, because we are God's ambassadors, then we are accountable to him in the way we interact with one another. And that frames then the context of what an authentic covenant relationship looks like within the Christian community. And two things we've taken away. In all of those, there are two things there are two lines, if you will, two plots or two storylines that walk through all of those relationships, and you're going to see them here again this morning, and it's this. It seems in any authentic relationship, there is a component of the voice of God. If it's my relationship with God, clearly the voice of God is there. So my relationship with my family or my church, clearly the voice of God is there by us being ambassadors of Christ. And so that's one theme. The other theme is the idea of covenant, that you and I are in covenant relationship with God and with our family and with each other inside of the community. And we talked about those three things. This morning, I want us to talk for a few moments about authentic relationships when it comes to friendships. I want to talk with you this morning about your friends, about our friends, and about the relationship that we have with them. In the 1990s and early turn of the century, the two most popular programs on TV was Seinfeld and Friends, and it was the whole context was friendships, and by the way, it was warped friendships, frustrated friendships, messed up friendships. And yet that's what people seem to be craving and looking for. And so this morning I want us to talk a little bit about covenant relationship. In other words, what impact does authenticity and covenant have on my friendships? Does covenant and authenticity, does it stop at the church house and at your house, or does it extend beyond? Do the concepts of covenant, do the concepts of authenticity, do they extend beyond the church house and our house? And I would say to you this morning, that's the thesis for my whole message this morning, is that indeed they do. Covenant and authenticity extends far beyond the church house and your house and into the streets, if you will, into the workplaces, that, if you will, at the ballpark, and impacts. In fact, I think it has a far greater impact than any of us could possibly imagine. And so I want us to talk about friendships this morning, and I just want to ask and answer three basic questions. Three questions this morning about friendships, and in doing so, I want us to kind of unpack what this looks like. The first question is this: what are we to our friends? In other words, what are you to your friends? How is the relationship defined? What are you to them? In some relationships, quite honestly, some friendships are simply user and being used relationships. Others are reciprocal relationships, back and forth. In some friendships, there's one that's always the giver and one that's always the taker. You know what I'm talking about? Some friendships, and so what we need to define is what are we? What are we to be? What should we be? I know there are all kind of definitions in the world of what we should be, but what are we to be to our friends? And to do that, I want to revisit just real quickly two verses that we've talked about already. One is, I want to revisit just real quickly 2 Corinthians 5:20. Remember last week what it says? Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. I would submit to you this morning that just as you are an ambassador in your family for Christ, and just as you are an ambassador in the church for Christ, I would submit to you this morning that you are also an ambassador for Christ in your friendships. What that means is, and this is crucial, what that means is you are a representative of God in your friendships. Now, if you're uncomfortable with that, well, here we go now. Can we? Is it okay this morning if we just be real just for a few moments, okay? If you're uncomfortable in being a representative for God in your relationships, in your friendships outside of the church, then don't call yourself Christian. Come on now. Is that all right? Right? In other words, if I am going to call myself Christian, Christ-like, then in my friendships, whether they're at the ballpark or the steakhouse, or whether they're in the parking lot, I must be a representative of Christ. If I'm going to be Christ-like, I must represent Christ in that friendship, right? Guess what? That's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. In fact, to Christ, that was the whole deal. That's the reason he called the disciples to himself, is that they would be representatives of God. And we talked about that a little bit last week. And it transfers over into this week. The second thing we talked about last week was this, is that, watch what the verse 20 says, now we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. In other words, there's not only the component, what are we to our friends? Not only are we ambassadors, but we are also, and again, now this may mess you up a little bit. It may make you a little difficult for you to process, but you are to be the voice of God in your friends' lives. Now, let me unpack that a little bit. Let me tell you what I am not saying. I am not saying that you have the right to get in your friend's face and say, thus saith the Lord. Especially, listen to me, your friend's going to have a hard time hearing you say what God wants for their lives if they can see that you can't discern what God wants for your life. Right? In other words, if you can't hear from God for you, then don't pretend that you hear from God for me. I want to see that you can hear from God. I want to hear and see that you will not only hear, but that you will obey God. I want to see that God's voice is meaningful in your life. Then I'll give you permission to speak God's voice into my life, and I'll embrace it, right? And again, that's part of the deal, folks. That's part of what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. Now, we talked about those two things last week, but I want to unpack this just a little bit more from this verse from 2 Corinthians 5:20, just a little bit more, because there are two more statements. It says this, we implore you on Christ's behalf. The word there, implore, actually means to pray or to beseech. If you were to translate it into modern terms, it would be to ask or to seek one. In other words, you and I, what are we? What am I to my friends? I am Christ's appeal to them. Think about that now. That means something. In other words, if I am Christ's appeal, that's what it says there, we implore you. The word there is to appeal or ask or to seek. In other words, my friendship with Donnie should be such that I am appealing him to Christ, right? It is an appeal to him. My friendship with him, what I say to him and how I treat him and how I act in his presence and the things I say should be what? An appeal for Christ. Now, listen to me. That's going to be hard to do if I'm telling dirty jokes every time I'm around Donnie. Right? It's going to be hard to do if every time he walks in my house, I have to grab the remote control and turn off what's on the TV. Come on now. It's going to be hard to do if he comes by me in Walmart and I'm standing there looking at the magazines I ought not be standing there looking at, right? It's going to be hard to be an appeal for Christ if it's not appealing. Right? But that's part of the deal, Mike. I am an ambassador for Christ. My relationship with Mike, my friendship with Mike should be an appeal for Christ. What I say and what I do and who I am and how I act should not drive people away from Christ. It should draw them to. It should be an appeal. One of the most difficult things, and it is a reality and an excuse, I'm going to say it up front, is an excuse, but it's still a reality. One of the most difficult things to deal with in church leadership is trying to get people to come to church who have seen such deep hypocrisy in the church. In other words, what they're saying is there is nothing appealing, right? There's nothing appealing. There's nothing about his life or her life or his conduct or her character that appeals me on Christ's behalf. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's a frustrating thing, but I need to shoot that right out of the air, too. It's an excuse, right? I'm not giving anybody an out on that. I'm not saying because there's hypocrites in the church, you should stay home. That's an excuse if you use that excuse. In fact, let me tell you, I have a philosophy about how to deal with, about when it comes to hypocrites. I've had people ask me before, Pastor, what's your thoughts about hypocrites in the church? I said, they're there. And he said, well, what do you do? I said, well, you got two choices. In my view, you got two choices when it comes to hypocrites in the church. You can go to church with them or you can go to hell with them. You can take your choice. Is that all right? Is that all right? In other words, if they claim to be Christ-like, but they're not. They claim to be Christian, but they're not. They put on the name tag, but there's no change of heart inside. They are a hypocrite. In other words, they appear something on the outside that they're not on the inside, which means they're a hypocrite, which means if they're a hypocrite, they are not washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not living in a relationship with the Father, which means they're not going to heaven. So you can go to church with them or you can go to hell with them. It's your choice. Don't use that as an excuse. You got a choice when it comes to hypocrites. Ah, man, that's just too much of an excuse. But I will also say, don't you be their excuse. Right? Don't you be their excuse. That's not even in the notes. That's just extra this morning. Just a little extra sauce there. Another thing that it says here about this verse is this. We implore you on Christ's behalf to, watch this, be reconciled to God. To be reconciled to God. Watch this now. The word reconciled there, literally interpreted, means to change or to exchange. Now watch this. What that means when it comes to my friends is that the life that I'm living in Christ should be so appealing to them that they want to exchange the life that they have for the life that I have in Christ. Well, there it is, right? In other words, I must act, react, talk, behave, be such an individual that is appealing to him. In other words, they look in Ernest's life, or they look in Mike's life, and they look in Donnie's life, or they look in Max's life, and they look and they say, that life is appealing. I look at your life, and I look at my life. I look at my life, and I see depression and oppression. I look at my life, and I see confusion. I see a lot of activity, but I don't see anything deep. I look in your life, and I see that you are in Christ, that you are living in relationship with him. I see that you are triumphant over temptations. I see that you're not perfect, but that you're not striving to be. You're just striving to be like Christ every day. And so I want to exchange my life for your life. Listen to me, friends. What you are to your friends is an ambassador for Christ. And your life should be such, whether the workplace or the playground or the steakhouse. It's twice I've said that this morning. I must have that on my mind for some reason. In any of that setting, what it means is they should be able to look and say, look, what you have is better than what I have. The way you live is better than the way I'm living. The smile on your face is better than what I feel every day. What I see in your life, I don't want to live like I am anymore. Can I exchange my life for the life in Jesus Christ? That's what you and I are. In our friendships, whether you're talking about junior high or high school, or whether you're talking about the workplace, or whether you're talking about being retired, you are to be an ambassador for Christ. That is an authentic covenant relationship that we have one with another. The second verse that I want to pull from the study that we've had over the last 4 weeks and pull in, and then I want to apply this directly to friendships. The second verse that I want us to see this morning is this. Has to do with the question of what do we see in our friends? The first question is, what are we to our friends? We are ambassadors for Christ. The second question that helps us unpack this a little bit is this question. How do we see our friends? In other words, what do we see when we look at our friends and we look into our friend's life? What do we see? You remember when we first started this study, you remember that I told you that relationships, you and I are made, manufactured, built into us, the need for relationships, because we are what? We were created in the image of God. In fact, Genesis 1 tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Watch this now. And then God blessed them, and God looked and said, "It is very good." It is very good. Now, how does the image of God and being an ambassador for Christ, how does that connect to each other? See, what you got to understand this morning is this. When you look into every human being, no matter who they are, no matter what their status is, no matter what their spiritual condition is, no matter who they are in society or in life, because they are human, every human being has the image of God in him. He made male and female and created them in his image. Man is created in the image of God. It is there. It's resident inside of every individual, every person. Now so my pastor, what does that mean? How does that apply? And I want us to walk through 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want us to walk through three sets of two verses, and I'm going to do this quickly. But I want you to see this morning, because you maybe have never seen it before. Watch this. I'm reading from the New International Version, because it brings out so clearly the point that I want to make this morning. Now watch this. The question is, how do we see our friends? Look at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. There are two things there that I want you to see. One is this. We regard no one from the worldly point of view. How do you see your friends? May I submit to you this morning that when you look at your friends, you should see the image of God. I'm not saying they look like God, act like God, are God. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying there is something of value that God put there. There is something of worth that God put there. There's something of importance that God put there. It is so valuable, so important that Jesus Christ, that Father, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish and have everlasting life. I submit to you this morning that in every one of your friends is the image of God. And when you look at your friends, I know it's easy to look at them according to the world's view, right? It's easy to look at your friends and say that he's this or she's that or she's not worthy or they could do more with their life or they could be more or can you believe he is this? Listen, that's the world's view. What Paul said was, no longer do we view anyone according to the world's view. What I'm going to look for is the image of Christ. What I would challenge you with this morning is this. At the ballpark, I know the coach is a raving idiot and has no idea what he's doing. I know that. How do I know that? Because you tell me that. I hear you talk about it, right? He has no idea how to coach a little league team. Are you kidding me? Who would told that kid to steal second base? What an idiot, an imbecile he is. In him is the image of Christ. And that coach of your kid will never be appealed to Christ if you're constantly in his face telling him what an idiot he is. Okay, right? There's something of value there. There's something of worth there. There's something of significance there. God loves him. God loves the homeless, and he loves the rich man. God loves the teacher and the educator and the student. God loves the waitress and the waiter and the restaurant owner. God loves the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. God loves them, everyone. So how do we see them should be answered with, I'm no longer to see them according to the world's view. I'm going to look for the image of God in them. And the second part of that is this. And some of them, your Christian friends, are no longer the old person. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The temptation is to see the world as worldly rather than say, I'm looking for the image of God. And the temptation is to see the Christian friends as just not quite measuring up, right? Is this okay? It's real this morning. The second set of phrases that I want you to see, the second verse is this. Watch what it says. All this comes from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of, or the ministry of reconciliation. Two things there that are important. One is this, the relationship you have in Christ is a gift to you. You did not deserve it or earn it. It is a gift to you. And when he gave you that gift, he put you in the ministry of reconciliation that you might pass the gift on to someone else. How do you see your friends not according to the old way, but according to a place of of the gift of God in their life? Now watch this, the third set of verses. And then I'm going to preach for a few minutes. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. Only one person got it. The rest of you are just really nervous about now. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see the connection? We read verses like, the old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and he is a new creature in Christ. We read things about being an ambassador for Christ, and we don't connect them to the way we see our friends. Can I implore you today? Some of you work in a difficult workplace. Some of you are dealing with a neighbor across the hedge that is impossible. Can I implore you to look for the image of God in them? To look for what God loves in them. In fact, let me tell you, God's love for the world is compared to a mother's love. It's the only human quality, the only human love in the entire Bible. The only human love in the entire Bible that is compared to God's love. It's the only love. It's the only love that will even approximate what God's love is like. Let me tell you something this morning. When you walk by, when you drive by the underpass over down the road, you may look and you may see what you think and looks like a worthless individual, a bum, someone who is of no value, of no worth. But let me tell you something. When that young man's mama walks by, he doesn't see a worthless individual. She doesn't see a worthless individual, somebody that doesn't count or somebody that doesn't matter. What she sees is somebody that she loves. What she sees is somebody she values. What she sees is somebody that she still has hope for. And can I tell you, that's the way God wants us to see our friends, not as a worthless, hopeless somebody, but somebody that he loves and we love, that he values and we value. Somebody that he has hope for and we have hope for. How do we see them? We've got to see the image of God in them. We've got to see that the gift of God is to them. Now the third question, the last question is this. What difference does that make? What difference does that make in our life? And pull up Proverbs 13:17. And I want to call your attention particularly to the last part of it. Proverbs 13:17 says this, a faithful ambassador brings health. Do you know what you are? You know what difference you make in your friends' lives? The difference you make in your friends' life is that you are the voice of health in their life. You know what health means? The word health means? It has two meanings. One is it means medicine. And the other is it means a cure. Do you hear me this morning? If you are in covenant, authentic relationship with your friends, authentic covenant relationship with your friends, that means that you, watch this, because Christ is in you, the hope of glory, that means that you have the medicine that they need for their lives. You have the cure that they need for their lives. What difference does it make? I would say to you this morning that it makes all the difference in the world. First part of that verse is interesting. A wicked messenger or a wicked ambassador falls into trouble. The actual literal interpretation there, actually, this interpretation is a little kind, because the actual word there is a wicked messenger causes trouble. They don't just fall into it, they cause it. Any of you know somebody like, don't raise your hand, but you know somebody like that. What Christ has called you is to be a faithful ambassador. The one who is, watch this, healing in the lives of the people. Can I tell you something? The people you work with are sick. Now, don't go tomorrow and tell them your pastor said that. But you know they are. You can see it when they come to work. You can see, you can hear it in their voices when they talk to you about their marriages or about their teenagers or about what their life is like. You can hear that they're sick. They don't need you to tell them that. They know that. The good news is this morning that inside Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the cure for that sickness. He is the medicine for that need that is in their life. You are an ambassador of healing to your friends. That is, if you walk in covenant, authentic relationship with them. Now, what does that mean? Well, authentic relationship, what does that look like? And authentic relationship with our friends is an agreement, not an association. In other words, watch this, a contract is what an association is bound by a contract. In other words, it is the contract that keeps them together. But an agreement, you've chosen to be in relationship with them, right? Covenant relationship, watch this, is redemptive, not reciprocal. What do you mean by that, Pastor? If I'm in covenant relationship with my friends, it's not, yes, I know that's the world's way the world sees it, but remember, because of 1 Corinthians 5:16, I'm not going to look at them like the world looks at them anymore. I'm not, the way the world sees it is it's reciprocal. In other words, let me put it in plain terms. The way the friendship works in the world, if you see your friends like the world sees them, here's how you will see them. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do for me, I'll do for you. Can I tell you what? A covenant friendship is not reciprocal, it is redemptive. Redemption is an act of grace. It is a gift from God. Your friendship is a gift into their life. They may not even know it and realize it, but you can't see them the way the world sees them anymore. It is built on love rather than a legal binding. You know what's the problem with having a legal binding, and when it comes to relationship, is that legal bindings have technicalities and they have loopholes, and somebody has to interpret the law and somebody has to enforce the law. But in a covenant relationship, covenants, watch this, covenants do not major in technicalities, they major in people. Covenants do not major in interpretations, they major in consideration. Covenants do not major in enforcement, they major in willingness, one for another. One for another. Now, what might that actually look like? Let me just get practical just for a moment, then we'll finish. Right about on time this morning. In a practical way, how might that look? Well, let's talk about friendships in general for a moment. One way that might look, you understand this morning, friendships are vital to community. I got to tell you, friendship is in trouble in America today, because we have a tough time having genuine, deep friendships one with another. Friendships are social activities, they're not relational, right? Today, they're defined by the activity. We're friends at the ballpark. We're friends because we work together. We're friends. But listen to me, friendships are not built in that way. It can't be reciprocal or contractual. Friendships, listen to me, what people are looking for today, what people would love to see today, is a fresh idea that you've chosen to be in a friendship with them. That you're, listen, that you're not expecting anything in return. That's so different than the world looks at it. You know why people are afraid to be friends anymore? Because everybody wants something. Oh, how refreshing. to be in a friendship with them, and they look at you with kind of cockeyed looking at you like, yeah, what do you want? You just say, look, I don't want anything from you. I just want to be your friend. I'm not in this for what I can get out of it. I have all that I need. I'm in this for what you can get out of it. What I can give you. What about a friendship that is more concerned with the individual? More concerned with the individual than the outcome. It is not a technicality, it's a choice. Friendships. What about in the workplace? What about in the employer-employee relationship? Am I responsible to in the friendships that I have in the workplace? Am I responsible to be an ambassador for Christ? And may I say to you, absolutely yes. Listen, I've worked since I was 14 years old. I've poured concrete, I've pumped gas, I've cut meat, I've stocked a warehouse, I worked in a hospital, I worked in a pharmacy, I ran a chemical plant as a floor sweeper, and then as a safety manager, and then as a manager, I managed a $35 million a year corporation. Why are you saying all this, Pastor? Because I've seen this from all sides. And what I will say to you is whether you are the supervisor or the janitor, you are to do your job as unto the Lord. Is that all right? Can I say something to you? Don't you dare be a slothful Christian in the workplace. That is a horrible witness to your boss. He calls himself a Christian, but he won't give an honest day's work. Is that all right? Calls himself a Christian, but he clocks in 15 minutes late every single day. Calls himself a Christian, but he has his friends clock him out. Come on now. What is that? You're an ambassador for Christ. You can't do that stuff. You got to be there on time. And you got to work hard all day long. And you got to keep your mouth shut and not be a divisive person in the workplace. Why? Because you represent the king, not the company. You represent the king. Is that all right? That might get a little personal this morning. See, I think one of the worst witnesses in the world that there is, and one of the worst opportunities we miss, is in the workplace. In fact, when Paul was writing to a church at Ephesus, when he was writing this in chapter 6, he was in his culture. You remember they still had masters and slaves. And he said to the slaves, you serve your master as though you were serving God. And he said to the masters, you treat your slaves as though they are God's children. It works both ways. It doesn't matter if you're the supervisor or you're the line worker. You be an ambassador for God in your workplace. Amen? Amen. What else? Friendships? Employer, employee? What about your neighbors? Lived in Pleasant Grove for 11 years. Somewhere about the 8th year, two guys, had a squabble across the fence. This made the newspaper and all the news stations. And so two guys had a squabble across the fence. And so one of the guys cut down some bushes or something that was on his side of the property. The other guy thought it was on his side. He cut them down, and it just started this fence war back and forth between each other. One guy built a fence. The other guy built a fence a little bit bigger. This guy went and got some pinwheels and stuck up on top of his post. So this guy, when he looks out of his window, he's seeing pinwheels turn all the time. This guy comes out, puts an extension on the back of his fence. This is the truth, I'm telling you. On the back of his fence, and paints them red, white, and blue all the way down, 100 feet of it, red, white, and blue. Nastiest, ugly looking thing you've seen in your life. What is that? What is that? I know what it's not. It's not an ambassador for Christ with the guy that's across the fence. It's not somebody that's witnessing for Christ. It's not somebody that is in a place, in a relationship. And listen, you're going to have a hard time when your neighbor's out there seeing pinwheels go around. You're going to have a hard time talking with them about Jesus. Right? Right? He wants to talk to you all right, but it ain't about Jesus. You got to be an ambassador for Christ. Is this all right? Let me mention one more and I'll quit this morning. What about covenant authentic relationships in dating? And I want to talk to teenagers and to parents of teenagers and grandparents of teenagers. We're in a society where the grandparents have a lot of influence. But I want you to listen to me. Tune in. Don't tune me out. Listen to me. Even you young guys who can't even stand girls right now, believe me, one day you will. Listen to me. Do you realize that in your dating relationship, you are supposed to be an ambassador for Christ? You're not supposed to be in that thing for what you can get out of it. Come on now. If you're an ambassador for Christ, God will take care of the relationship, the filio, that is the love, that is that the brotherly love, and then the eros, the love one for another, that physical kind of love. God will take care of that. But you are meant to be in a relationship as an ambassador for Christ. In other words, listen to me. You are to be polite to each other. You are to respect each other. Listen to me, young lady. If he doesn't respect you on the first date, he will never respect you. Never. Never. Listen to me, young guys. Listen to me. This society's turned upside down. It's strange. I'm telling you, when Geraldine and I grew up, the guy pursued the girls. I think that's the way the Bible, you know, says it's supposed to be. Maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, but I think that's the way the Bible says it's supposed to be. You read Song of Solomon, you see that's kind of the way it's supposed to be. But listen, we live in a society today where the girls pursue the guys. Listen to me, young men. Listen to me. If she doesn't respect your manhood, she's not right for you. If she doesn't respect that you are a virgin and you want to remain a virgin, she's not right for you. And you will never be an ambassador for Christ in that relationship. Is this all right? You got to make some choices about that stuff. And something else. Something else. Come here, honey. Can we just talk for just a minute? Is this all right? I want us to walk across the stage. I want you to lag behind me. Watch this. Listen to me now. Just burns me up. Can't stand to see it. A guy and a gal supposed to be together, right? And they're walking in the mall, and this is what you get. Come on. Come on. And it is not just boyfriend, girlfriend either. I see some husbands doing the same thing. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. Listen to me. Now hear me now. Hear me, young girls. If this is the way he walks with you, if he walks off and leaves you, he will walk off and leave you. You hear what I'm telling you? If he doesn't respect you any more than that, if he expects you to follow him around like some little puppy dog, if he'll walk off and leave you, he'll walk off and leave you. He'll walk off and leave you. And listen to me. Can I tell you something? Husbands, I'm just talking to husbands here just for a minute. Now listen to me. When you said those vows, and you turned and you walked down the aisle. You walked her out arm in arm. And that's the way you still need to be walking her. That's the way you still need to be respecting her. You walk her arm in arm. She is still your bride. She is still your beloved. She is still the one you've given your heart to. Listen, you honor her. You honor her. And girls, listen to me. This stuff about I ain't gotta have a boy open the door for me. What is that? Let him open the door for you. Are you kidding? He ain't gonna carry my books. Really? Let him carry your books. Right? Not only gonna open my car door. And if he pulls up to your front door and blows the horn. Go ahead, baby. Go ahead. And blows the horn. Are you kidding me? Come on now. Man, he blows the horn. Don't you dare go out that door. You let him blow the horn. You let him blow his top. You let him blow his nose. But don't you go out that door. Now, what are we talking about here? I'm talking about respecting each other. And understanding that your first obligation in your dating relationships, your first obligation is to the Lord. To represent Christ in that relationship. Then God, if it's meant to be, he'll bring the relationship about. He'll bring about where it's supposed to be. But listen to me, if you fall romantically in love first, you'll never hear God. You'll never hear God. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. You can fall in. Listen to me, young girls. Listen to me, young guys. You can fall in love with the wrong person. You can. And it will mess you up. Because then it don't matter what daddy says or mama says or the preacher says or the youth pastor says or your friends say. Nobody can tell you anything then because you done given your heart romantically. If you will first serve the Lord in that relationship, you'll be able to hear him when he says, "This is not good." And you'll be able to hear him when he says, "This is right. This is right." I am so thankful. Nearly 30 years ago now, when Geraldine and I met, I am so thankful that I was in a place where I could hear him say, "This is right. This is right." And the reason for that is, as best we could, we weren't perfect, but as best we could, we tried to be ambassadors for Christ in that relationship. That she loved me so much, the first 3 dates I canceled. I got a new job. I had to go to work, right? In fact, it's one of the reasons I appreciate Mr. Green so much. Geraldine got mad. Mr. Green said, "You want a guy who will work, right? You want a guy who will work." But we will soon celebrate 27 years together. And I'm going to tell you something. This deal, listen to me, young people. Listen to me. This deal, other than this deal, this is the biggest deal there is. You want to get it right. You want to do it right, and you want to get it right. And one way to make sure of that is you enter that relationship trying to be an ambassador for Christ. Amen? Amen. Is that good stuff? Amen. Well, give the Lord a hand then. Got a little carried away there. I'm going to let you go here in just a moment. I want to charge you this morning because it's not enough to preach that kind of a message, preach that kind of a sermon, and not just give you some straight instructions, and here it is. Can I tell you what I think we need to do when it comes outside these doors? Yes, in our friendships with our neighbors and our workplace and our dating relationships across the fence and at the steakhouse or the spaghetti house, as it may be. Can I charge you to do one thing? Intentionally develop authentic covenant relationships. Intentionally develop authentic covenant relationships. For all of the reasons that I mentioned, and for this one reason, 80% of people who come to know Christ come to know him through a personal relationship with a Christian in their life. Listen to me. The vast majority doesn't happen at the altar. It happens because they have an authentic covenant relationship with somebody who understood what it was to be an ambassador for Christ in that relationship. Can I charge all of us this morning, in whatever situation you're in, you intentionally choose to be an ambassador for Christ. That also may mean, that you have to distance yourself from some relationships. I'm not putting a blanket here. There are some relationships, and that's another message for another time, but I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that you owe it to them. I am saying you owe it to Him to be His ambassador, His representative. Sometimes the best way you can do that is to witness to them, and sometimes the best way you can do that is say, I'm not going to participate in that. I'm not going to be a part of that, right? I'm talking about authentic covenant relationships. In that, we can be ambassadors for Christ. In that, the voice of Lord can be heard. And in that, covenant will indeed keep us strong. Stand with me. Father, I thank You and I praise You. And I know this morning that there's been some things that have been said. Some practical things that I have no doubt, Lord, are sticking in some individuals like burrs this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask You to run them deep. Run them deep this morning, because relationships are too important to play around with. Relationships are too important, Lord, to have anything other than the view that You have, that we are Your representatives in them. I pray, God, that we'll have wisdom, Lord, when it comes to, because some are dealing with some difficult relationships, and quite honestly, some have some difficult decisions to make. I pray, God, that they'll be able to make those decisions and be strong in them. I also pray, God, that more and more and more, Lord, we will develop in authentic covenant relationships. That we can be an influence on those that are around us. That we can represent You in it. That You will receive all the glory. We praise You and we thank You for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we thank You and we praise You for the privilege we've had today to come together and share in worship and in Your word. Amen. God bless you. Thank you this morning for being here.